Turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. We are working our way together through the Gospel of Luke under the heading of the Good News of God, according to Luke. Tonight we want to consider together persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. Again, our text this evening is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, picking up where we left off last time with verse 1. This is, of course, speaking of Jesus Christ. Let's hear God's word. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so she'll not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we turn from the confusion and the darkness of the world and to the light of your word, and as always, seeking clarity, seeking truth, seeking insight, seeking comfort and instruction. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless your word to us, to indeed encourage us and help us on our way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anything in the Christian life more neglected than prayer? That is there anything in the Christian life more neglected than serious, consistent, persistent prayer? Certainly we pray. I mean, we pray at our mealtime, I trust. You ask God's blessing on your food, and we pray when somebody is sick, or you pray if your kids are hoping to get into a certain college, or if they're looking for a job. We pray at certain times for certain people in certain situations. Certainly, we do pray occasionally. But are you committed to serious, consistent, persistent prayer? We pray for things like the weather when we're going on vacation. We pray for safe travels. Again, we pray for specific situations, which is all good and well and fine. But are we committed to consistently and persistently praying for the kingdom of God on earth, praying for the people of God in the world today? As we mentioned this morning, there's much injustice in the world. There's much injustice. Are we committed to seriously, consistently, and persistently interceding on behalf of the cause of God and his people in the world today? There's two truths I want us to see tonight from our text. The first is that God is just. That is, God is right. God is fair. God is just to hear and answer the prayers of his people. God is just. He's righteous. He's fair. He's just to hear and answer the prayers of his people. All right, look with me at our text. Beginning with verse 1, it says, he told them a parable to the effect they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, we've already seen in the Gospel of Luke that a parable is typically a short, very short, condensed story that's meant to illustrate some basic truth or principle. And we have to be careful not trying to read into every little detail of a parable, but rather, typically, a parable is a simple story, typically from everyday life, intended to illustrate or demonstrate one simple basic truth or principle. Our passage is a little unusual this evening in the sense that that Luke, at least, gives us the meaning or the purpose of the parable before we hear the parable itself. Typically, in Luke and in the other Gospels, Luke will, or the gospel writer, will recount the parable, and then later Jesus will take the disciples aside and explain the parable to them. That's the typical pattern, is we have Jesus telling a parable, and then subsequently, that is later, he takes the disciples aside and explains it. If that, In many cases, we have Jesus giving a parable without any explanation, and we have to rely on the context to interpret and understand the meaning. This is a little bit interesting in the sense that before we even hear the parable, right out of the gate, Luke tells us the point. He says, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So the point of this parable is that we should pray. We should persist in prayer and not give up, not be discouraged, not lose heart. So Luke tells us the point of the parable before he even tells us the parable. Well, then he recounts the parable. Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge. Okay, so in this particular parable, we're taken away from the home life. Many of the parables were located in everyday common life, typically somewhere in the countryside or in the home. This is a parable set in the city and the judge of a city. So we're going into an important issue. This is not just with a local townskeeper or a local magistrate, but this is the city where the judge is located. So immediately the context here is this is a very important matter where you have to go before the official judge in the city. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Now, as I've already mentioned, and as we mentioned this morning, there's great injustice in the world. That's to be assumed until Jesus comes back that there's great injustice in the world. It's one of the reasons why we have the judicial system. It's one of the reasons why we have judges and we have a police force, because there is great injustice in the world, and the judicial system has been established to help promote and maintain justice. That's why we have judges. And yet here in our text, in this parable, we have a judge who himself is unjust. This is often called the parable of the unjust judge. We have a judge who doesn't fear God. That means he doesn't care about what's right or wrong. He doesn't fear God nor respect man. That is, he has no compassion for those who are being mistreated or suffering. So what we have here is a case of extreme injustice. There's always going to be injustice. That's why we have a judicial system. But when the judge himself is unjust, now the system itself is faulty. The system itself is inherently corrupt. So Jesus in this parable is introducing a very serious situation. He says, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. So on the one hand, we have a judge who is unjust. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't respect people. He doesn't care right from wrong, and he doesn't care about anybody's problems or suffering. On the other hand, we have a widow, and we know in the ancient world in particular, widows were typically poor and powerless. They have nothing to offer, particularly to a judge who does not care about right or wrong. Now, the very purpose of a judge was to provide justice for people like the poor and the widow, to provide for those vulnerable members of the society. But in this case, he's an unjust judge who has no interest in the widow. She has no power. She has no influence. She has no money. She has no way to persuade him, to influence him, except that she keeps coming to him. It says, there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. So there's some enemy, some adversary who's taking advantage of this widow. Perhaps he's driven her off of her own land. Maybe he's farming on her property. He's doing something unjust, unfair, and she is powerless to do anything about it. So she's doing the right thing. She's appealing to the judge for justice. She's simply asking him to do his job. And she doesn't give up easily. She kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. This judge doesn't care about this woman, this widow. He doesn't care about her suffering. He doesn't care about right and wrong, and he doesn't care about people. So he's not interested. He refuses to even hear the case. He refuses to help. He's an unjust judge. For a while he refused. But afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice. I mean, this is an idea of how unjust this judge is. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about right or wrong. He doesn't care about other people suffering. But he does care about himself. And from his perspective, this woman's bothering me. How dare she expect me to do my job? He is so self-centered. He's irritated. He's aggravated. He says to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now again, the woman's not doing anything wrong. She's simply coming to the judge, asking him to do his job. But the judge is so lazy, so self-concerned, self-preoccupied, so wicked, and so lazy that he doesn't care about her suffering. He cares about his measly suffering. He cares about the fact that she's bothering him, she's irritating him, and he begins to feel like he's being beaten down. Well, obviously, the widow's being beaten down. But this judge is so wicked, he's so self-centered, he's so self-absorbed, all he cares about is himself. But because he cares so much about himself, he says, I'll give her justice so that she'll leave me alone. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Okay? Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice so she won't beat me down by her continual coming. The Lord says, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Okay. What we have here is a point being made by contrast. If even a wicked, self-centered, self-absorbed judge who doesn't care about right and wrong, and doesn't care about people, if even he will eventually give justice, certainly won't God, the righteous judge, do what's right? If this wicked judge, who cares nothing for this widow, will eventually do right by her, a woman he doesn't care about, won't God do right by his children whom he loves and cares for? Jesus deliberately refers to his people as his elect in this passage. Well, the unrighteous judge would not have elected this woman. He would not have chosen to have business with this widow. He would have chosen to have business with wealthy men who were influential, who could do something for him or who could bribe him. He would never have chosen this widow. And yet eventually he did something. Gave her justice. How much more will God, the righteous judge, do justly for his chosen ones, the one that he's chosen and set his heart upon and brought to himself? Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night, praying for what's right, praying for God's just cause in the world, praying for the persecuted church, praying for God's people that are so unjustly treated and who suffer unjustly? Will not God do justly? God is right. He is just. He's fair. He's the good judge. He will hear and answer the prayers of his people. In fact, Jesus says, he will give justice to them speedily. And I don't think that means that all of our prayers will be answered immediately or quickly by our own perspective. But there will be no unnecessary delay. It's not as if we have to wear God down. That's the image here. Remember, for a while the unjust judge refused to even hear. The widow had to wear him down. But when we come to God, we come to him as his chosen, as his children. He is already predisposed to hear our prayers, so there's no unnecessary delay. It's not as if we've got to wear him down or somehow earn the right to be heard. Jesus tells us elsewhere, it's not like we're heard for our many words. It's not like you've got to clock in a certain number of hours of prayer before it finally counts. Rather, we're his people. He loves us. He will answer us speedily. That is, he will answer us as quickly as possible, as quickly as is good for us and for his kingdom. There will be no unnecessary delay. God is good. He's righteous. He's just. If you and I care about injustice in the world, how much more does God care about it? God is just. He's good. He's fair. And he's just to hear and answer the prayers of his people. And so, and this is the second point, persistent prayer, or we could say persistence in prayer, is an expression of faith in God's justice. I think one reason why Luke handles this parable a little differently is because the way it ends. And we'll get to that in a moment. But if we go back to the beginning of the passage, remember, Luke tells us, Jesus told them, the disciples, a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So there, the point of the prayer, the whole point of the parable is we should pray persistently, consistently, not give up, not get discouraged. I don't think he's encouraging us to pray obsessively. Sometimes as Christians we do obsess over one thing that becomes so important to us and we sort of become stuck on that thing that until God or unless God gives me this one thing, I can't move on. I don't think God wants us to pray obsessively. Again, we're praying about matters of justice and we don't always know what's the just and right thing. We ultimately say, Lord, your will be done. God knows better than us. And so we have to beware of sort of obsessing over one thing. But he does want us to pray persistently, that is, believing, trusting that God is just and that he hears and that he cares. If we don't really think God is just, if we don't really think God is good, then you're going to give up. You're going to stop praying. But persistent prayer or persistence in prayer is an expression of faith in God's justice. It's evidence that you believe God is good, that God cares, that he's fair, and that in his time he will do what is right by his people. And so our text ends in this curious way. Jesus says, nevertheless, okay. In other words, even though God will hear the prayers of his people, and even though he'll give justice to them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So in other words, the real question is not will God do what's just and right. We know he will. God is the just judge. He will do what's just and right. The question is not will God answer our prayers as we pray for justice. We know God will answer our prayers and do what's just and right. The question is not will Jesus come again in glory and make everything right and just. We know that Jesus will come again in glory and make everything right and just. So the question is, when Jesus comes back, will he find people praying? That's the question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find us praying? Because persistence in prayer, or persistent prayer, is an expression of faith in God's justice. And so, even though we don't always see the kind of answers to prayer that we want to see, we don't always see it in the way we want to see it or the time, you continue praying. You're committed to praying for God's cause. You're committed to praying for God's kingdom because you're convinced God is good, God is just, and God will do right by his people. And the ultimate evidence of the justice of God, of course, is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If God were not just, Jesus would not need to die on the cross. If God were not just, our sins would not need to be punished. They wouldn't need to be dealt with. God would just ignore them and overlook them. If God were not just, Christ would not need to give his life on the cross and die in our place. So the death of Christ on the cross is a perpetual reminder. It's evidence of the justice of God, that God hates evil. He hates sin. He hates injustice, and it must be dealt with. The death of Christ is a perpetual reminder that God hates evil, he hates injustice, and is determined to deal with it. But the death of Christ on the cross is also a perpetual reminder that God is just in the sense that he's just and faithful to keep his promise. He has promised to deliver his people. He has promised to save his people. And the fact that Christ was willing to go to the cross for us is evident of how just he is, that God would keep his promise even though it would cost him the life of his own dear son. God himself, Christ himself, is so just that he's willing to go to the cross, even if that, since that was necessary, to keep his own promise to save his people. And so God is good. He's faithful. He's righteous and just. If we, his people, are concerned about wickedness and injustice in the world, much more so is God concerned and grieved over it. He is righteous. He's just to hear and answer the prayers of his people. So when we pray, when we give ourselves to consistent prayer, not just for this individual or that particular problem, not for the moment, but also praying consistently, praying for the church, praying for the kingdom of God, praying for God's people, praying that the world would be made right, that righteousness would prevail. Persistent prayer is evidence, it's fruit, it's proof, it's an expression of our faith in the goodness and the justice of God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we do thank you. You are not an unrighteous judge at all, but you are altogether righteous, big-hearted, a kind, one who hates evil and delights in that which is good. And you are, in a sense, burdened with the grievousness of this world that also burdens us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who delights to hear and answer the prayers of your people. We pray, Lord, we pray this evening that you would make us more and more a praying people, that motivated by our confidence in your goodness, that we would persist in prayer, in seeking your favor, in seeking justice and righteousness on earth, on interceding on behalf of the kingdom of God, and praying for your church and this congregation, Lord. Help us to persist in prayer because we know you to be a good and righteous God. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.